Hey, this is Brian from your friendly neighborhood Infamous podcast, and we have a deal for you. If you go to comixology.com right now and spend $15, when you check out, use the code Infamous and you get $5 off. That's right. When you spend $15 on comics at comixology.com, you get $5 off when you use the code Infamous. So go help out the show and your friends at the Infamous podcast and get some digital comics. You're welcome.
Welcome to episode 152 of the Infamous Podcast. This is John.
This is Brian.
Brian's voice is bothering him today.
Brian's sick.
How do you get sick in the summertime?
Because Angel got me sick.
How did she get sick in the
summertime?
I don't
know, but I quarantined her. I didn't even look at her for like a week, and you know.
That's why she glares at you so much.
I still got sick. Anyway. Hey guys, welcome to the show. This week we are going to talk about The Incredibles 2.
I thought I was supposed to do the introduction.
Oh yeah, sorry.
This week we're going to talk about Incredibles 2. We're going to talk about Fox and Disney. We're going to talk about Lucasfilm canceling all their solo, well, not solo films, sorry. All their
spinoff
single origin movies. I don't know what you would call them.
They called them spinoffs in the article. Yeah, I was just looking at it.
So. They're not spinoffs.
I know, but
and I don't need an Obi-Wan movie.
I don't need an Obi-Wan movie. I don't need a Boba Fett movie.
I'll take a Boba Fett movie.
No, thank you. Anyway.
I want to see where he got from Clone Wars to Bespin and how he got there.
Okay.
Yeah. Where that armor came from.
Okay. Wouldn't that be Jango Fett?
No, that wasn't Jango's armor.
I know, but... Oh, which Mandalorian he stole it from?
Where he found it. Which garbage pile he pulled it out of.
It was in some Mandalorian trash heap.
Why him and Dengar are best friends.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. How Han Solo screwed them all over.
All right. So do you think this is because Solo so underperformed?
No, I think it's because there's a lot of bitches out there that complained about The Last Jedi so much that Lucasfilm's just like, we're going to just stop producing a lot of movies. Because the people who complain about Last Jedi are the same people who complain about they're doing too many movies.
Well, I think you have those people who are like, look, we spoke with our money and we got Lucasfilm to stand down.
No.
Like, I think, like, there's
no,
people...
No, because the people who complained about Last Jedi went and seen Solo. They did.
Okay. They like, did. You think in mass? Like, yeah. Not just the hardcore fans?
The people who were going to Force Awakens and Last Jedi that weren't Star Wars fans did not go to see Solo.
Okay.
Okay. The Star Wars fans who are the ones who whined and cried and bullied
and buy all
people
the toys
and you know
were mean to Rose Kelly Marie Tran and so
I mean it's not her fault.
Which by the way,
that's shitty.
Don't act like that.
Yeah,
she's a perfectly fine actress. She's from all things that are out there a very nice woman.
Mm-hmm.
Just because Rian Johnson didn't know how to write her character. It's not her fault.
Yeah, she acted with what she had.
She was very likable.
Well, it's the same with Daisy Ridley. Daisy Ridley's done a good job doing what she's done
like
with
Daisy
the character.
Ridley. I like Rey.
And that, but you know what? In the end, she's just doing the job.
Yeah, like, you want to go after someone who acted poorly in a Star Wars movie? Go after Natalie Portman. She's a great actress who mailed it in.
Say again. It's
but
because of the writing.
Is. Well, But I don't know, because...
When you watch the bloopers of episode 2 when they're supposed to be going through the droid factory and she tells George
that
she feels... Like, it's literally on the DVD.
Yeah.
The Blu-ray probably now. But it's like when the actress tells you that she feels ridiculous doing what she's doing, maybe you should look at your script again.
I saw a meme today, actually, for like the 1 minute I did hop on Instagram.
Yeah.
And it was the picture of Anakin and Padme's marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And it said that Hayden Christensen and Natalie Portman decided to play a prank on George Lucas.
That's
where
been
they pretended.
For a while.
Like,
yeah.
I know, but
yeah.
it's just apropos to what we're talking about. Where it's where they pretended they didn't know how to act. George Lucas liked it so much he kept it in the film.
Well, you know. I mean, the proof is there that they can act because Natalie Portman has done a lot of stuff and gets a lot of accolades. Hayden Christensen has done stuff where you've seen him and he's not a bad actor.
If you go watch Life as a House.
Life as a House, Jumper.
Yeah, Jumper was
Takers.
Good. Takers is...
If you can find the Canadian show that he was on that got canceled because he took the job as Anakin, called Higher Ground, where he was an abused child.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing is... You watch those, and then you go, well, what the hell? It's like, oh, it's the writing and directing that happened on those movies.
So you have to remember, Life as a House came out before Attack of the Clones.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, oh, my God, this kid, this is who we have playing Anakin Skywalker. This is going to be great.
Right. Right. So, yeah.
And then I did see people talking about George said what his sequel trilogy would have been.
I don't care.
And it was... dealing with the wills and the Metachlorians.
Oh.
So you guys think you hate this shit now?
Yeah. Yeah. What? The wills were dealt with well enough in Rogue One.
We learned everything we need to know about the wills. Right. The reason the wills...
Chirrut Imwe was one of the wills, and we learned enough.
The reason the wills got cut out of the first draft of Star Wars...
was because they didn't need it?
They were absolutely unneeded.
Right. The thing that sucks about if this is happening and they're canceling everything is, will we not get to see the Benioff Weiss trilogy?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Like, does this count as the Rian Johnson trilogy? Did you?
I think that there's going to be some changes in management.
Okay, so I've been thinking about this. The thing people should be most upset about Kathleen Kennedy for has nothing to do with Star Wars. It was the fact that she was the producer on The Last Airbender.
Oh, wow. Well, you know.
Like.
That's just, you know what? Her name's on it, but that doesn't mean she was dealing with anything. Well, I know, but like
the fact that she put her name on that, that's her most egregious thing.
She's been on a lot of good movies and a lot of bad movies.
And, you know, honestly, under her stewardship, Disney Lucasfilm has made billions of dollars.
Right. The thing about it is I feel like she don't know much about Star Wars.
That might be true.
And if that's the case, then Dave Filoni could just be the one to run the Star Wars division of Lucasfilm.
But would they do that? Would they put Filoni in there?
Filoni's had two successful cartoon series and a third one coming.
I get it. I trust me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I love Dave Filoni. He is...
Filoni literally worked under the wing of George Lucas. He knows Star Wars because he knows what George Lucas knew.
Yeah.
And I mean, George Lucas writing is not so good, but George Lucas imagining is the same as Gene Roddenberry.
So
Gene Roddenberry imagining stories for Star Trek and getting other people to write them made Star Trek a success.
Or like George R.R. Martin, right?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
George R.R. Martin's actual writing, not that great.
Right.
But the whole idea of what he created with the Song of Ice and Fire.
Yeah.
Oh my freaking gosh. I mean, it's.
Yeah, it's that idea, and just use the Disney reference of Imagineers. Gene Roddenberry, George Lucas, George R. R. Martin are great Imagineers. They come up with some great universes and that, but they fall into the trap of, you know, it's their universe, so they're trying to write it the way they want it to be, and it's like,
right.
Let other people shape it for you.
Wasn't it Robert or John Patterson, the author?
James Patterson.
James Patterson. Like, he co-writes all of his books now. Yeah. Like,
I get it. And the reason he does it is because he understands that there's other creativity out there besides his creativity. These people work in an office on his property. And it's like, you know, well, that's a great idea.
Okay.
You come up with the ideas and you let other people write the ideas and you just take home the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cha-ching.
Yeah, exactly.
So this Collider article, the headline at least, says that the spinoffs are on hold, not canceled.
I don't think they're canceled. I think that it's just a matter of they need to reevaluate how they're releasing these movies and why they're releasing these movies. Yeah. I do think they need to evaluate why they're doing these. Solo was a good movie.
It was. All right, wait. So we both liked Solo. Uh-huh. So this is not a bash on Solo. And we both liked The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi to a point.
I liked Rogue One.
And
yeah.
I love Rogue One. The problem with Solo is instead of picking up closer to when The Last Jedi ended and recasting these characters, they made a very big deal about, oh no, we're going to catch up with an older Mark or an older Luke, an older Leia, an older Han. And then they turn around and they recast Han Solo.
Well, that was okay. Because they've already done that with movies. I mean, you know, it's not a big deal.
Well, but it's kind of like the whole point is they purposely didn't go down that path originally with The Force Awakens.
Would you have wanted, like, right after Return of the Jedi? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, like, you could have cast an actor in their 40s to play Luke Skywalker.
When though? What do you? Like, what timeline are you talking?
10 years after Jedi, or
so you would want a movie that was after Return of the Jedi, but not 30 years in the future.
Right, not so far in the future that we have a 70-year-old Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill's not 70 years old.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. He's like in his late 50s, early 60s.
No,
I think.
No, okay, I'm looking this one up. But anyway, but no, I think that
how old is Star Wars?
40 years old.
Mark Hamill was 19 or 20 when he was cast.
Okay, let's see.
I'm pretty sure. He was in his early 20s at least, so he's in his early 60s. Harrison Ford
is 66.
Yeah, Harrison Ford is like 10 years older than everybody.
Anyway, so he's 66 years old, but, you know, man, he looks much older than 66.
That's because of the car accident.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's why his face is kind of like doesn't look right.
Well, it's not that it doesn't look right. He's still a handsome guy.
He had to have, like, severe plastic surgery.
Anyway, no, I just think that they made such a big deal about not, like, you know, hey, we're going to keep your favorites actors.
It was just that was the whole nostalgia thing of, hey, we're going to bring them back. We're going to bring them all back, and we're going to show you where they're at now. And everybody was willing to come back.
Right.
But, you know, it's like you can't de-age Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm.
No. So you just recast it. If you wanted to tell the story of how Han Solo became Han Solo, then you just recast it.
Yeah. I think the bigger problem is the revolving door of directors more than anything.
That's because they don't cooperate with their boss.
Well,
it's really
how did Gareth Edwards not cooperate?
Well, nobody's ever said.
Well, but
nobody's ever said what happened with Phil Lord and them.
Well, but they brought in Tony Gilroy to redo.
They're not going to bring that out on the public, because whatever happened between those people probably is something that's in their contract that you don't talk about it.
Okay,
they're all union.
They're NDAs union. And stuff. Okay, well, yeah, I mean the directors.
They're all
guild.
Unions. Yeah. Like everything's a union, and there's pretty much like a lot of rules when it comes to unions.
Okay, so this article says Rian Johnson's series and Benioff and Weiss's series, or trilogy, are both still in production.
Okay.
Now,
as much as my dislike for The Last Jedi is, I'm curious to see what Rian Johnson will do with an original trilogy in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. So there's something about Johnson that came out, or that I heard recently, that he likes to... He doesn't want everyone to like his movie. He wants to alienate some people.
Look at Looper.
Well,
you liked
Looper. I liked Looper.
I did not like Looper.
And
that
I get
much.
It, but like hearing that, it's like, oh my God, he literally wrote The Last Jedi to piss people off.
Well, yeah.
And that's not what Star Wars is about.
Well, I mean, Kathleen Kennedy was happy with it.
It makes me nervous for a trilogy from him,
because he's going to do stuff to piss people off. And well, like I said, it's going to be an original trilogy, though.
Well, I get
so
it,
it's
but
like, you know, he's not going to, they're not at this point, Lucasfilm is going to be smart enough not to let him use any of the characters that have been, you know, canon.
Well,
he's going to have to create his own story in this universe with different people.
I can't.
They're not going to let him use
Ezra
Bridger or Ahsoka Tano.
Well, he better not go anywhere near Ezra.
Yeah,
or Ahsoka.
That's what I'm saying, though. He's not going to be allowed to do that. I think that you'll get the Ezra Bridger story in Resistance.
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's when you'll see Ahsoka and Sabine finding Ezra and how they'll tie into that universe.
And yeah.
Because that's what Filoni does. He ties his stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah, it's going to be a new story, and it's going to be a story about Poe Dameron. You know, I don't know. I mean, my whole thing with that is, you know, and you've had time to think about it, is why was Poe Dameron such a jerk in that movie?
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's not apologizing for anything that Rian Johnson wrote, but I like to think of it as he was such a jerk because he was just running on adrenaline.
Yeah.
Because literally this movie takes place right after Force Awakens.
Yeah.
He just blew up Starkiller Base. So he's like, whoop, whoop. But everybody's like, we got to get out of here.
Right.
And he's like, well, no, no, no. Wait, nobody's looking at me.
Yeah.
I just blew that up.
Where's my
medal? Where's my fortune and glory? It's that. It's my fortune and glory. Where's my fortune and glory? And then it's like, so you think you're the hero. And then people are telling you you're not the hero.
Yeah.
So what happens? You have a bad reaction to it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that kind of makes more sense to me now why he was such a. And it's like, hopefully in this next one, he's, you know, more, you know, cool and calm. It is JJ writing it, so, you know.
Yeah.
JJ's got some stuff to fix. I really think this next movie is going to take place a couple years later.
It better. It
because cannot they've, be. They've already said that they've started shooting.
Yeah.
John Boyega has dreadlocks.
All right.
So I'm like, well, okay. Then that's something a little later on.
Like, I just thought it was a huge mistake to pick up right where.
They never done that before. Right. Like, they never had done that but before. Like, and it's like, you know, maybe that was the thing is he's like, oh, I'm going to make people mad just by doing this.
And while it was neat to see them, like, you know, trying to run away.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was cool. Like, they should have shown them running away and then, like, star wipe.
Yeah.
3 years later.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think that, like.
It felt like an episode of 24.
Yeah. Because
it was real time.
See, I've never watched 24. Well, so, it was but like, it's a real time movie.
It was in real time. Or Nick of Time with Johnny Depp?
I don't think I've ever
it was
seen
90
that
minutes
either.
Long and
yeah,
it was 90.
The movie was
he
90
has,
minutes
he
long.
Had 90 minutes to get through what he needed to get through.
So we'll see what happens. In other news.
In other news.
Disney is finally.
Speaking of Disney.
Processing the payment for Fox.
And now it was 71.
Something like that.
Billion?
Something.
Million?
They picked up like $18 billion more dollars.
Okay.
Of
debt
that Fox had because Fox has gone into debt since this whole thing started out. And they said they would pick up that debt. So I think it went up to 71.
Okay.
Something like that.
Well, I mean, it's definitely interesting.
You still got probably a year and a half, 2 years down the road until we get Avengers meets X-Men.
Yeah.
Yeah. Avengers versus X-Men.
If they do that.
I don't care if they do it.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think that at this point, just release what 20th Century Fox has, finish that out, and then just do what you did with Spider-Man. Reintroduce the X-Men into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Reintroduce the Fantastic Four into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And
John Krasinski and Emily Blunt.
Well, you don't have to do any origin stories.
Nope, none.
Because we've had enough origin stories. We can see that Marvel Cinematic is good enough at doing a non-origin story. Because I feel like Homecoming was a non-origin type thing. And I still would be curious to see what happened to Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
But I don't need to.
Yeah. It's not a question I need an answer to.
Yeah.
Now, I know we don't talk politics.
No.
But I don't know if you've seen like Seth MacFarlane and Judd Apatow keep attacking Fox because of Fox News.
Okay.
It's like, you guys have been cashing Fox checks for a long time, and Fox News has been doing whatever it is Fox News does for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, shut up. Anyway.
And that's the political
corner for and this scene.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. So, it says here 21st Century Fox agrees to a higher offer from Disney. I mean, Comcast came in with like $65 billion or whatever.
Yeah.
Comcast
was never going to get it.
No.
Disney was too interested in getting all their properties under one umbrella.
Yeah. So, and they have a mountain of cash to sit on.
Right. I mean, they'll still let Sony do what they do with the Spider-Man stuff.
For now.
And that, but, you know, in a year or two, they'll just be like, we're taking that, too.
Yeah, okay. Time to give it back.
Yeah.
Venom sucked. Turn it over.
The only saving grace for Sony is going to be that Spider-Man Edge of the Spider-Verse.
That looks awesome.
It looks really good.
And the fact that Jake Johnston from New Girl and Jurassic World and
is he playing
Buddies
Peter?
Is Peter.
Okay.
It's hilarious. Yeah. And, like, kind of fits.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. All right. So the Disney offer is much higher than the original $52.4 billion. Mm-hmm. To surpass that, it was $52.4 billion in stock, which surpasses Comcast's all cash offer of $65 billion.
Because stock's worth more, right?
It can be potentially. Yeah. It says here
it's Disney stock, so yeah. It's worth a lot more.
Disney said it also has a regulatory advantage over Comcast in winning a company to help fight back against new media companies like Netflix. So this is the whole reason Disney wants the Fox, 20th Century Fox catalog, is because they have a streaming service coming out in less than a year.
Right.
And they need content.
Sure.
They're not going to have...
But they still have like a year and a half or 2 years to get all this stuff processed.
So most of what's coming out on Netflix these days is original.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And most of it's pretty good.
I'd say so.
For the most part.
Yeah, for the most part.
The TV definitely more so than most of the movies.
Right.
Although that Set It Up with Lucy Liu and Taye Diggs.
Yeah.
Was surprisingly good.
Okay.
Anyway, Disney needs that influx of content to really push through what's happening.
Well, sure.
Or push through content to make it happen.
Well, right. But I mean, you know, they'll make money off of other streaming networks just by allowing stuff to play.
Yeah, and selling the rights sort of thing.
The Disney brain trust is not dumb for sure.
I but mean, they get to cherry pick the best things to put on the Disney network.
I mean, why not have all your Star Wars movies and Marvel Cinematic movies playing on your streaming service?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And take them down every
Plus,
once in a while and
you
put
know,
them back up.
Your classic Star Wars movies and, you know, everything Star Wars should be, you know, on your streaming network. You paid for it.
Yeah.
All the Indiana Jones.
Paid billions of dollars.
Anything
for
that
stuff.
You paid for, you should have it on your streaming service at least for the first year. So people will pay for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And currently, none of the original trilogy is on streaming. None of the second trilogy is on streaming. No, they're not. I've searched.
The prequel trilogy? No.
The original.
The original,
trilogy.
No.
No.
The Last Jedi is on
right.
Netflix now. It just hit. So. And I think The Force Awakens is off now.
Force Awakens on Stars.
Okay, so that's why it's not on Netflix right now.
Yeah. I think Last Jedi is on Stars also.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Okay.
But that's the thing. Stars has a pretty good contract with Disney.
Yeah.
That's been going on for at least the last 10 years they get a pretty good deal to run stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think Disney will screw Stars over. I think Disney's trying to mainly screw Netflix, Amazon, you know, all them streaming guys. Stars are just streaming if you have Stars.
Yeah. Until Apple decides to step in and just buy Disney.
I don't think that'll happen, but...
They have the kind of money to do it, unfortunately, so...
Yeah, but then you're spending money that you don't need to spend.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I know. Anyway.
Start your own or buy Netflix.
Yeah.
If I was Apple, I'd buy Netflix.
Who was it? Someone had the opportunity... I think it might have been Comcast had the opportunity to buy Netflix early on. Like when the
we have now.
No, but it was like when the streaming first started and they were like, oh, it's a fad or whatever, and then... You know.
Right.
But all right. Cool. Well, hey, we're going to take a quick break and pay some bills. Thanks to the Ohio Toy and Comic Show for Aaron's free advertisement that we're giving him. Anyway, we'll be right back after this message. The Ohio Toy and Comic Show.
Hey, this is Aaron Dietrich with the Ohio Toy and Comic Show. We'd love it if you joined us on July 22nd, 2018 at the Dayton Fairborn Holiday Inn. We're returning for our fifth year with special guest Master Daniel Piscina, or better known as Johnny Cage, Scorpion, and Sub-Zero from the original Mortal Kombat arcade games. So check us out 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on that Sunday. It'll be a blast. See you then.
And we're back. So make sure you guys attend the Ohio Toy and Comic Show in Fairborn, Ohio at the Holiday Inn on July 22nd. And we may have... custom shirts.
We may have for people or for us?
Both.
Oh, okay.
For them. For people to purchase. We only have three of our limited edition ones left. You can go to our Instagram and see it. I have a large and two XLs. So if you're interested, message us and we'll take care of you.
Did you sell all the rest of those?
I didn't sell them. I gave them all away. These are all freebies. Oh, okay. So,
see, yeah, that's the difference. I'd be like $5.
So pulling people, get on it.
That'd be awesome if actually one person from Poland went, hey, can I get one of their shirts?
Hell yeah. All right. Let's just get to it. The Incredibles 2 came out.
Yeah, it did.
And it was pretty freaking cool.
What was the biggest animated opening of all time or something?
$183 million. The eighth biggest opening of all time. Never mind animated.
It beat Star Wars?
The original, yeah.
And Titanic?
Did it?
I don't know.
I don't know what the
I don't know what the big opening things. I don't look at lists like that.
Well, I mean, just seen that it was
very profitable for, you know, the mothership.
I gotta say, it was really good.
It exceeded my expectations. Yeah, it exceeded my expectations.
Now,
I expected it to be as good as the first one, and it was better than the first one. It was.
I don't disagree with that.
Right.
I don't necessarily agree with it, and I want to see it again before I make that statement.
Yeah.
Because of the Pixar movies, I've watched The Incredibles more than any.
Sure.
And it's my favorite Pixar.
Sure.
And I know it's not necessarily Disney, but if I can combine them, it's my favorite Disney movie. Okay. If I can't combine them, my favorite Disney movie is Robin Hood with the Fox. But
is it not considered a Disney movie?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we've had the conversation before.
Disney Pixar. About,
yeah. So, anyway.
I mean, at this point, a Lucasfilm movie or a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Counts. Yeah. Except for, what? Iron Man. Incredible Hulk and the Avengers.
Well,
Thor. All the ones that were produced before the Avengers. Because the Avengers was the last one.
So, everything from Iron Man 2 and before is Marvel. And not Marvel.
Just Marvel Cinematic, yeah.
Anyway.
Does it work that way? I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway.
I personally don't think so.
Right.
Like Pixar is Pixar.
Right.
They're owned by Disney.
Yeah. And they have their own brand and their own style.
They use people from Pixar to produce stuff for other movies and that. But yeah, this movie was really good. Not the best Pixar movie. I think the best one they've done is Toy Story 3.
Okay. Yeah. Which is great.
I think Toy Story 3 has been the best of their storytelling that they've done. Because it evolved the whole story of Toy Story.
And Toy Story 3 is like my number 4 favorite Pixar movie.
Okay.
Behind Up and Ratatouille and obviously The Incredibles.
I don't know that I have a favorite Pixar movie.
Well, I mean, they're all good.
Right.
So, like, Coco was amazing.
I do have a least favorite Pixar movie. A Bug's Life is not.
Is that Pixar?
Yeah. That was their second movie.
Oh, wait. Ants was the DreamWorks one.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Never seen that one. A Bug's Life is enjoyable, but it's not, like, going to be my pick if you say, hey, let's watch a Pixar movie.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, this was just, it was such a fun movie. Now, the twist was kind of easy to figure out.
The twist was, the twist was like, you know, right but there.
But how simple it was to figure out did nothing to take away from the movie because it wasn't an, if this person's going to turn, it's a win.
Yeah.
And
it was literally, this person already is bad.
Right.
And you could tell.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm like, there still were things I was questioning about what's the motivation.
Like, if this movie would have been made 30 years ago, this would have been the only character who smoked a cigarette.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, kind of a thing.
Yep.
Jack-Jack was great.
Oh, yeah. Jack-Jack was... It was fun to see Bob at home.
Yes.
With the kids. Because you didn't see much of that in the first movie anyways. Num-num
cookie? Num-num cookie.
But I mean, you know that he was their dad before he was recruited by Syndrome.
So before, so Bob stays home.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about the dad part of this for a second.
Sure.
Because I was afraid it was going to go down a route that I wasn't going to be happy.
Okay.
Because at first he was completely out of his depth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was kind of an idiot.
Right.
And a big thing in Hollywood is to make dads, especially white dads who are bigger, gentlemen to make them idiots.
Yeah.
And that's not who Mr. Incredible is.
Yeah.
Not at all, right?
It kind of felt like, and you know, I think that Brad Bird has kids, I'm pretty sure. I think that he was an at-home dad at one point.
But
who
watching,
was out of his league for some reason.
So,
and he wrote that into the story.
The montage of Mr. Incredible becoming Mr. Incredible Dad was as satisfying, if not more so, than his montage of training in the first
one. Yeah.
Because it was so much more heartfelt.
Yep.
Now, Elastigirl.
Yeah.
She was a badass in the first one. Don't get me wrong. But watching her on the Elasticycle.
Yeah.
Was freaking amazing.
Well, it just shows you what she was before they got married. Like, you know, because she told him at one point she had a mohawk.
Right.
And he's like, you had a mohawk?
You don't know me.
It's like, I don't know you from that one.
But the thing was watching the way they animated her on the cycle and just kind of the stretching. It's kind of like, I wish Slinky Dog was like a real person in this universe to be her like animal crime fighting partner.
Oh, okay.
You know, like the Adventures of Elastigirl and Slinky Dog.
They would have used
brought to you by
combine the thing, yeah.
Slusho.
Slusho is not,
I know,
Pixar.
Well, it's because it's a Cloverfield movie.
Bad robot. Oh, you would have done Cloverfield, Elastigirl, and Slinky Dog.
Well,
so they would have fought a giant monster.
It would have been a Cloverfield movie.
A Cloverfield movie. Yeah.
But
poor Cloverfield.
Poor Cloverfield.
You all pick on it so much.
Violet was great.
Violet was great because Violet's more comfortable with herself now.
But
so it's like, you know, seeing what happens with her and Tony was great to see.
Poor Tony.
Yeah.
Poor Tony. That's all you can say. I did like, so where we just talked about The Last Jedi picking up, right?
Yeah.
I love that this picked up
right at
really
the end,
close to where it
the ended, Underminer.
And we got to see the fight with the Underminer.
Well, you had to have John Ratzenberger in the movie. Yeah. So it's like, you know, you just pick up right where it ended.
Now, I like the twist with Tony seeing Violet without the mask, which was great, which led to some great drama and comedy down the line.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Frozone, you want to talk about a badass.
That was the thing, is like to have more Frozone in the movie and see what he could do. It's like,
I'm so happy I have this Frozone pop now.
Yeah.
It's like all the more, like I bought it because it was cool looking and I love Frozone from the first movie. And,
right.
And Sam Jackson is the voice.
More power, like more powers he could do. And it's like, okay, could we just get a Frozone movie?
When are we getting the Frozone
with Honey
movie? Yes. I like, want to see Honey.
Do you know that Honey is the voice of Honey is one of the HR people at Pixar?
No, that's hilarious.
I'm like, what else has she been in? Because like, I'm curious to see. Four credits on IMDb. Incredibles Video Game, Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
And I'm like, seriously? And then I clicked on her and I'm like, oh, she's just an HR person.
And then Brad Bird is Edna.
Funny. Yeah.
So Edna in this one was great.
Darling. You know.
She the way she's like, I don't do the babysitting and this and that. I can't do her voice right now. Because I can actually do the Edna voice pretty well.
Yeah.
But her relationship with Jack-Jack, the way that morphed, was one of the greatest things ever.
And him like taking off characteristics of hers.
When he matched her face. When he morphed into I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
So do you think Jack-Jack is going to keep all of those powers as he grows?
17 powers. 17 powers so far. I think that's the thing is like he is the incredible one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved the raccoon scene.
I'm like, finally, everything with the raccoon.
Like, you know, you kept seeing all the toys with the raccoon. And I'm like, what is this?
What's with the damn
and
raccoon?
Then finally, when they showed it, I'm like, this makes so much more sense now because he's watching the TV and watching a crime show and the guy looks like a raccoon.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, no. And then he fights him and I'm like, yes.
So it took me a minute to place Evelyn as Catherine Keener.
Yeah.
I don't know why I couldn't place the voice, but
she changed something about her voice. Bob Odenkirk was great.
Bob Odenkirk was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not the biggest like, lots of Bob Odenkirk is a good thing kind of guy, but
it was Bob like Odenkirk, it, It was awesome. The thing where it was like, you're like, oh yeah, you know that voice if you've watched Breaking Bad.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I'm just like,
well, and Mr. Show and
yeah, you know, but I'm like, he didn't like overdo it. Mm-hmm. He was just like, you know, enamored. Like he played enamored really good.
Yes.
Yeah. It was like, you know, I'm like, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
All the superheroes they introduced.
I loved, like, Void was awesome. And yeah. then the Crusher guy.
Yeah.
And when he's like, can you undo this? And he goes, can you one punch someone?
Yeah, exactly. It's like. Yeah, I know that Sophia Bush from One Tree Hill played.
Yeah, she was Void.
Yeah.
So. I loved how she fangirled out.
Did Phil Lamar play Crusher?
Phil Lamar was like four different characters.
Four different, yeah.
So, which is awesome because Phil Lamar is awesome.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I've met him once.
The Incredicar. Or the Incredibile.
Yeah.
Which, not calling it the Incredicar, calling it the Incredibile is hilarious.
It was just cool to see that because you knew it existed.
Well, and it's like, they told me it crashed. And then he goes and finds the remote.
Yeah. Like, what are you still holding on to the remote for?
They told you it crashed. Why do you still have this? You freaking pack rat. So.
Well, that's the thing. Like, moving into that new house, I was like, when are we going to get to see, like, you know, all this memorabilia up,
yeah,
you know?
Well, and Dash with the remote,
oh yeah,
like sinking the furniture and
what it, the, just the way the that they stuff. Said that, yeah, the guy who lived here before needed all these secret entrances and exits, and I'm like, Batman,
yeah.
I was literally like, Batman.
So Batman 66,
it looked
it,
like
kind of
yeah.
like little Wayne Man. It was it like looked,
well, the thing is Incredibles movies are supposed to take place in the 60s,
right?
So, like, you got the Outer Limits, mm-hmm. and you had Johnny Quest.
Yeah.
And literally, like, there's an Easter egg when Elastigirl is, like, up on top of a building of Quest Industries.
Right.
It's one of the
right.
buildings. And I'm like, does Brad Bird want to do a Johnny Quest movie? Because I totally would be up for that.
An
like
animated Johnny Quest?
Even
or
a
live action.
Action.
Yeah.
Because George Clooney should play Ray Spannon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Brad Bird, make that happen.
Yeah, exactly.
I know you're listening. You're a fan. You email Johnny constantly.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
would never get any work done.
So we watched the we went on Saturday morning.
Okay.
We watched The Incredibles Friday night.
Okay.
And
I did not watch it before.
So it's 14 years old. And
that's what I wanted to ask you. Did it have the introduction where Craig Nelson and Holly
yeah.
Hunter and
yep.
where they were like,
where
thank
they,
you for
yeah.
waiting. And yeah.
yeah, we appreciate you waiting. Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
It was really neat. I think one of the cool things is you go back and you watch The Incredibles and like Pixar's come a long way.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
And that's not to say Wall-E and Up and The Incredibles and Toy Story 1 and 2 are not fantastically animated.
No, they're all really done well for the period of time that technology was at.
But you turn around, is Moana Pixar?
No, Moana is Disney Animation.
But Disney Animation has gotten where it is
right.
because of Pixar. So,
oh, yeah,
you look at, like, Moana, for example.
Sure.
Not Pixar. And the way it does water.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and watch The Incredibles and the way it does water when they crash.
Right.
Like, animation has come a long way.
Well, just watch Jack-Jack run across the water.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
Dash.
Yeah, Dash. Sorry. Get them mixed up.
But the animation on this was amazing. The hydrofoil. Yeah.
Well, just the idea
the helicopters
of
and
Bob's 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah.
I'm like, Pixar wasn't able to do that like 10 years ago.
And his hair, the way it fell.
Yeah.
In like natural.
Because, I mean, there was a lot of close-ups of them. And I'm like,
they did the
5 o'clock shadows.
They
back
did
in the
bald
day.
Spot a little better.
Yeah.
And all, or the balding spot, not bald spot. But, yeah, it was so well done.
They'll replace actors in a few years.
Do what?
They'll replace actors in a few years. I remember when that argument came out, too.
What?
There was a time when they started doing the CG people.
Oh.
That actors were worried that they wouldn't have jobs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're still going to have jobs.
Yeah.
You could talk for them.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe not now.
Yeah. But now seeing this technology and seeing how far it's advanced even in, you know, the last 5 to 10 years, it's like you look at something like Tron Legacy.
Yeah.
Where like I've always had to complain about Clue when he talks.
Right.
And I'm like, now these CG characters look real.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's scary.
Yeah. I mean, like Peter Cushing,
The
way they did Peter Cushing. Anyway.
Which is pretty much the same way they did Tron Legacy with
better job with that.
But anyway. I think because of Pixar and because of doing the people now, yeah. Because I mean, you look at the first Toy Story, which we have watched recently, yep. And look at the mom and the kids. They look like a Pixar person.
Right, right.
The people that are in Pixar movies now look like people.
Yeah, just think like some
they're
features
animated.
Are off.
They're
like,
animated
you know,
people, but
they can't make them look too real.
Right.
But they
well,
do
it's
like,
it's a animated fantastic yeah, movie.
But like the way the bridge of the nose is,
yeah,
and like but they all are built like that.
Yeah,
it's like that's the people there. It's like in The Simpsons.
And
they
I
all
think
have
that
four
everybody
fingers.
In that movie is somebody that's related to somebody at Pixar.
Maybe yeah.
No, they've said that. Oh, like oh. I think like they a lot of the people they just asked. Family members, can we use your images?
Oh,
and
oh.
So you
so
know,
it's like it's Alex getting, Ross with his dad.
It's getting more and more where they're just like laying people in there that because Coco, the production on Coco, I think brought people closer to their families.
Yeah,
and it was just one of those things where Toy Story was in the process of being made, so I think it was just you know kismet type thing.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. What do you give this 9 out of 10?
I'd give it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah. I'm right there with you.
I think, you know, Incredibles is one of my like favorite movies, and it's like this one. I literally walked out of it and was like, this exceeded expectations.
I was so satisfied with it. I was so satisfied with the ending.
Did you stay all the way through the credits?
No.
Oh, dude, we stayed. There wasn't anything, but I was like, this is one of those movies where I'm like, they did a you know in memory of Bud Lucky, but
I mean, I had to pee so bad.
Yeah,
so
I was just like,
but. What did you think
the
of
the music at the end?
The music was great.
So in the credits, they play the theme songs for the three.
Oh, okay.
And it's like they're so retro sounding that it's just awesome.
That's
because
cool.
It's like Elastigirl and the Mr. Incredible song that they actually sing in the movie.
That Bob Odenkirk
and the
sings.
Frozone song. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So that was fun.
What did you think of Bao? The movie, the short. Beforehand.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I liked the animation
dark.
Style.
It was dark. It was a dark, 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 dark story.
Yeah. They switched them because that was supposed to be on Toy Story 4 next year.
Oh.
And it was done before the one that was on supposed to be on Incredibles 2.
Okay.
So the one that's on Toy Story 4 was the one that was supposed to be on Incredibles 2. Their production schedule must
that?
Be... I don't remember what it was called.
Oh.
But it's like their production schedule must just be crazy at Pixar. I would, not as a fan, but just as a person who, you know, works at a place where schedules are something, I'd be curious to just go in and see how all that works.
Yeah.
Because they have to have three movies going on at one time.
Yeah.
And not even their behind the scenes stuff shows like what's going on.
Right.
So I'd like to be on a fly on the wall in their building for like about a year.
Well, you'd have to go out to L.A. for that.
Well, right.
So anyway,
I'm sure they would let me in.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You spend enough money on their stuff.
I don't know.
So more than most.
Disney. There's people that spend a lot more money.
Oh,
on
I'm sure. Than. So but that's why I said more than most. Not
now. You know. Talking about Incredibles 2, like stuff that's out in stores and that.
Yeah.
I don't like the figures that
I don't like any of the
Mattel
toys other
produced.
Than the Pops.
Have you seen the Toy Box stuff though from Disney?
Did it come out?
They have Mr. and Mrs. Incredible.
Okay.
And then they might be out now. Violet with a Jack-Jack. So each one has a Jack-Jack.
Right.
But the regular Jack-Jack is packaged with Edna and Dash.
Okay.
There are three packs.
Cool.
And that, but you get a Jack-Jack. I think
if it's like,
Violet has Monster Jack-Jack.
If it's like the Star-Lord,
yeah,
I'm all in.
Right,
on
those like I've got Mr. and Mrs. Incredible.
Okay.
Opened them already in that, and they're great figures. And then I'm looking at the regular figures at Target. And I'm like, why can't they just do the same thing
better?
Yeah, it is.
It's Mattel, man.
Yeah,
I mean, because we look at those the D23 DC ones. And right. It's like, they're just not good.
Well, and it's like, I have a Mr. Incredible figure from a few years ago, and I forget who made it.
Yeah.
But they did like a just five Pixar characters, and I found that one marked down, got lucky because, you know, I hadn't seen them in forever. And I bought him, but I never opened him. But I'm looking at him and looking at the Toy Box ones, and I'm like, these two figures are probably the best Mr. Incredible figures that were ever done.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Well, on that note, do you have anything else you want to add?
I don't think so.
Okay. I'm going to go save my voice. Thank you guys for listening and putting up with me.
Save his voice. Week. Save the cheerleader. Save the world.
Save the podcast.
Oh, is the podcast going away?
Yeah, I need to talk to you after this.
All right.
We have to have a meeting with
Freedom!
HR. No,
this totally gets the Braveheart meme.
when are you seeing Jurassic World?
I'm not really sure.
Okay, because we're going
tomorrow.
We're going Sunday.
Yeah.
So
we're recording on Thursday. So yeah, we're be seeing it on Friday.
We're recording late this week. So anyway, if you're listening to this, Johnny's at or has seen Fallen Kingdom on Friday.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway. So we're probably going to talk about that next week. So
maybe
looking forward to it. Hopefully
maybe some news will pop up.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
We're getting closer and closer to Comic-Con.
It's not looking as bright and shiny out there in Comic-Con world.
No,
no. I think their biggest like marquee right now is Aquaman. I knew that'd get a reaction. Oh.
I love James Wan. I love him. He's a great director. And so I hope this turns out well.
I've seen pictures because Entertainment Weekly likes to do their exclusive pictures.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with Black Manta so far.
Yeah.
Because they showed the helmet.
I saw the helmet.
And it looks like the helmet.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, at least they didn't change that. At least it's not Joker-fied or something.
Oh, you know what we should talk about next week along with all of this?
Yeah.
Is Chris Pine in a fanny pack on the Wonder Woman pictures.
Did he have a fanny pack on?
It looked like he had a fanny pack.
Okay, I'll have to go look.
Because it's like 1984.
Yeah, that's like that too.
That's prime fanny pack season.
Wonder Woman 1984. So. That's what it's called.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I'm curious to see what that's all about.
All right. Speaking of Wonder Woman and stuff, if you did not listen to last week's podcast, it was a blast. Go listen to it. We rebuilt DC from the ground up.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Or you did, and I just let you go.
Well, no, you kept me reined in, man. You
I let the chain get out as far as I let it get out and then pull it back in.
Just yank it back. Anyway. All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.
Later.
The Infamous Podcast was recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Our music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information out about the show by visiting us online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. There you can stay up to date with the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page. That's patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show so we can bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodworth, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. Later.